Evening, we'll begin reading in Psalm 23, verses 1 through verse number 6. And as I read, you can recite it or read it with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the preciousness of Psalm 23. And, oh, Father, we're so thankful for the truth that was written by this great author about this wonderful psalm. But, Father, as we come to this psalm this evening, Father, we begin to look at this psalm in a new way and in a new light. Father, help us to understand, Father, as we would begin to think about Psalm 23 in a new light, that we would come to understand that Psalm 23 in the days ahead. Father, I pray you'll be a help to us. Speak to our hearts, Father. Challenge us according to your will. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Just want to remind you that this is the second half of the message that we preached several weeks ago. And so the intent of this message is not to be all that long, but a continuation of that first message before I lost my voice. So as we thought about Psalm 23, we saw, as you were taking notes from point number one from last time we met, we saw this, that we should see and be amazed by the Lord's person. We should be amazed by the Lord's person. But now here, and secondly this evening, not only should we be amazed in the Lord's presence, but number two, we need to be alert to the Lord's presence. Alert to the Lord's presence. Once David introduced us to the subject of this book, and remember, from the very beginning, the subject of this book is none other than the Lord. And if we think about what we talked about over several weeks ago, as we thought about the Lord, we saw that he was an uncaused God, basically meaning this, that he was the self-existent one. And then we saw that he was an unchanging God, and he is the great I Am. Quoting him verses in Psalm 102 and verse 27, and then God himself in Malachi 3 and verse 60, where he says, "For I am the Lord, and change not." We find that David declares that he is the Lord. He is Jehovah. He is the self-existent one. He is the great I Am. But now we find he joyfully declares this in the second part of verse number 1. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." As David thought about God, as David thought about the God of Israel, and he thought about his personal relationship with Jehovah, he made the analogy of a shepherd and a sheep. You see, God was like a shepherd to David, and David was like a sheep to God. You rightly well know and understand that David understood about this analogy of the shepherd and the sheep because David was a shepherd. Understand this evening that this idea of the sheep and the shepherd is a familiar idea throughout the Bible, that the Lord is the shepherd of his people. This idea begins all the way back to the book of Genesis, where Moses called the Lord, speaking of the Lord God Jehovah, he called him the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Move on to Psalm 28 and verse number 9, where David invited the Lord to shepherd the people of Israel and to lift them up forever. Then Psalm 80 in verse number 1, it also looks as the Lord as the shepherd of Israel, that thou leadest Joseph like a flock. Then we move to that book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 12 and verse number 11, and it speaks of the words of the wise which were given from one shepherd. And then in Isaiah, that great prophet, Isaiah 40 and verse number 11, tells us that the Lord, he feeds his flock like a shepherd, and he gathers the lambs with his arms. How comforting is that? That he feeds his flock as a shepherd and gathers his lambs in his arms. And then Micah chapter 7 and verse 14, it invites the Lord to literally feed. And that word feed comes from a Hebrew word denoting shepherd. So feed with the rod as in the days of old. We move to the prophet Zechariah in chapter 13 in verse number 7, which speaks of the Messiah as the shepherd who will be smote and the sheep are going to be scattered. And it's quoted in Matthew 26 and verse 31. You see, this isn't a one and off thing. This idea of the sheep and the shepherd is beginning of the Bible all the way through to the very end. Then, of course, we have our Lord himself in John chapter 10 and verse number 11 and verse number 14. Jesus clearly spoke of himself as the good shepherd who giveth his life for the sheep. And who can say, I know my sheep and are known of me? So we find that Jesus says that I'm going to give my life for the sheep, but also I'm known of my sheep and I know my sheep. And if that wasn't enough, the Apostle Paul gets in on this idea in Hebrews 13 and verse number 20. And he speaks of Jesus as the great shepherd of the sheep. And yet still, as we go through the New Testament, we find in 1 Peter 2 and verse number 25, it calls Jesus the shepherd and bishop, or in other words, overseer or shepherd, if you allow me to use that word, of your souls. And in 1 Peter 5, 4, he calls Jesus the chief shepherd. So in light of all that, in light of Genesis all the way through to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 25, what should the Lord our shepherd mean to you and I? If he is our shepherd and he is the chief shepherd, he is the good shepherd, he is the great shepherd, if he is the Lord God Jehovah, the self-existent one, what does that mean to you and I? Think about this. As God is our shepherd and the Lord Jesus Christ is our shepherd, number one, he watches over us. Notice that word shepherd. That word shepherd simply means to tend to the flock. That's all it means. We don't have to have some big fancy definition for it. That word shepherd means to tend to the flock. It speaks of the role of the shepherd and, get this, his care and love for the sheep. Throughout this psalm, we find that he describes how the Lord, his shepherd, cares for him. Well, we have that word shepherd, but then notice this. Notice the shepherd's care for his flock. In Psalm 22, Psalm 22 is often spoken about as Jesus being seen as the good shepherd. We see the good shepherd dying for his sheep, and true in John chapter 10 and verse number 11. Then in Psalm 24, we see Jesus described as the chief shepherd, and he's coming again for his sheep. And truly, that is true in 1 Peter 5 and verse number 4. But here in Psalm 23, he is the great shepherd caring for his sheep, and again shown to us in Hebrews 13 and verse number 10. I want to give you just a brief overview of the shepherd's care for his flock. Notice in verse number 2, we see him bringing his flock into the green pastures and leading them to the still and peaceful waters. And then we find in verse number 3, he's attending to the hurts and the wounds of his sheep and leading them down the path of righteousness. And then in verse number 4, we see him carefully guiding and guarding the sheep through dangerous terrain. And then in verse number 5, we see him preparing a banquet and anointing their heads. But then notice in verse number 6, it doesn't end here. In verse 6, we find his provision of goodness and his provision of mercy. Every one of these actions that we'll look at in the coming days and weeks describe how the shepherd watches over us. He watches over his flock. And if you're saved and born again this very evening, that includes you. He is the shepherd and we are the sheep. But what do the days ahead have for you and I? Well, the truth is nobody really knows what the days ahead have for you and I except for God himself. A couple of weeks ago, I said this, there'll be green pastures that we'll be able to walk through, but there'll also be deep valleys that we'll have to go down through and back up to the other side. But whatever those days ahead may bring, we know this, the Lord is my shepherd. And as the shepherd, he's watching over us. He's caring for us. Well, we need to be alert to the Lord's presence concerning his watching over us. But then something else, notice this. We need to be alert to the Lord's presence as he walks with us. Notice the pronoun, that personal pronoun, my. What a wonderful word. The Lord is my shepherd. When David speaks about the Lord, the self-existent one, Jehovah, he doesn't call him the shepherd. He doesn't even call him a shepherd. Instead, he calls him this, my shepherd. The Lord was very personal to David. He was the one that was with him. He was the one that was watching over him. He was the one that would be walking with him through the valley of the shadow of death. Notice he even states in verse number 4, he says that will no fear, he will fear no evil, for the Lord is with me. Charles Spurgeon writes this, the sweetest words of the whole Psalm 23 is that monoblous symbol of my. Boy, when you think about that, how encouraging that is to you and I. But he goes on to say this. He does not say the Lord is the shepherd of the world at large and leadeth forth the multitude of the flock, but the Lord is my shepherd. If he be a shepherd to no one else, he is a shepherd to me. He cares for me. He watches over me. He preserves me, and he loves me. Let me ask you something this evening. Is he your shepherd? Is the chief shepherd your shepherd? Can you say with David, the Lord is my personally shepherd? If you can say the Lord is my shepherd, then you can be encouraged by this fact that he is your shepherd. And he is not only watching over you and walking with you, but get this, he'll be there with you. And we know that whatever the days ahead may bring you and I, whether it be in the green pastures beside the still waters, enjoying the very presence of God himself, or if we pass through a long and difficult valley, understand that he'll be there as well. There never is going to be a moment that he will not be with us. Thank God for Hebrews 13 and verse 5, where the writer says this, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. There will not be one day in those days ahead. There'll be not one day that you have to face on your own, all by yourself. He promises to be there. He will be with us. I want you to understand that we have to be alert for the presence of the Lord. He'll be there every step of the way. And here again lies the problem with most people today. They're not looking and alert for the presence of the Lord. So when they go into the deep, dark valleys and they're in that valley of the shadow of death, they understand this and they're not looking for God's presence and they're not looking for him. They don't find him and they think they're all alone. But God has said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. You have that responsibility to look for the presence of that shepherd. Well, not only should we be amazed by the Lord's person we saw several weeks ago, not only should we be alert to the Lord's presence, then notice, lastly this evening, we can be assured of the Lord's provision. We can be assured of the Lord's provision. What is the result of the Lord being David's shepherd? I mean, just think about this. What is the result if David is saying, God is my shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd? What is the results of that? Notice in verse number 1, it concludes with this. The result of David saying that God is his shepherd, that God is the Lord, that he is Jehovah, the self-existent one, is simply this. He says, a result of that is, I shall not want. That word want means desiring or needing something. You know, oftentimes we get our needs confused with our wants or our desires. But here David said, I shall not want. Because the Lord is my shepherd, there's nothing I desire, there's nothing that I need. David was saying, God, because you watch over me and watch over us and walk with us, there is nothing that I desire. One day, a little boy in Sunday school class was quoting Psalm 23, and he each had a chance to memorize that and quote it in front of his class. And the teacher called on Johnny in the back of the room, and don't you know Johnny always sits in the back of the room, amen. And they called on Johnny in the back of the room, and he stood up, and he got down to verse number one, and he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want." I want to say glory, hallelujah. I like that translation, amen. I like that little boy's commentary. The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want. If it could be any better, I would say this: that's all I want, and that's all I need. In those words, "I shall not want," we see a couple things. Notice, first of all, we see his sufficiency. We see his sufficiency. So David was magnifying the one that can meet his every need. He wasn't questioning God. He wasn't second-guessing God. He was magnifying the name of God the Father, Jehovah, the provider, the self-existent one. He was saying, "God, I know that you're the one that can meet my every need." When we face these days ahead of us, knowing that the Lord can and the Lord will meet our needs, understand this, it changes our whole perspective. One writer put it this way: "I shall not be in want of rest. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." Notice that word, maketh. I'm so glad sometimes that God maketh me. Maybe not lay down in green pastures, but I'm glad sometimes that God just maketh me. "I shall not be in want of drink. He leadeth me beside the still waters. I shall not be in want of forgiveness. He restoreth my soul." Somebody say glory, hallelujah to that. God is the God of forgiveness, amen. Continues on and said, "I shall not be in want of guidance. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness. I shall not be in want of companionship. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. I shall not be in want of comfort. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Never heard my two sons when I was raising them with the rod and the staff. Did they never say, "Dad, thank you. That comforted me, amen." But I do know what David was saying here. He was saying that shepherd's staff guided them and corrected them and brought comfort to them, knowing that the shepherd was there giving his loving care. It says, "I shall not be in want of food. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Boy, I feasted just on this one passage of scripture this week. And boy, how God just fed me as I thought about preparing a table in the presence of mine enemies. You know, understand this. If you're in the presence of your enemy, you know what? You don't sit down at a full course banquet, sit down and enjoy a 7-course meal and have 3 desserts and 4 or 5 refills on your Diet Coke. If you do anything, it's a quick grab and go. But here, the psalmist said this: "I shall not be in want of food. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Then he says, "I shall not be in want of joy. Thou anointest my head with oil. And I shall not be a want of anything." He said, "My cup runneth over." He said, "There's nothing I need, nothing I desire, nothing I want. My cup is overflowing. I shall not be in want of anything in this life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." And not only in this life, but notice this: "I shall not be want of anything in eternity to come. For the Bible says, for I dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I hope you understand this evening that the Lord, he'll be with us and he'll meet our every need. It's his promise. Well, we see his sufficiency in the provision, and notice our satisfaction that comes from God's provision. David said, "I shall not want." In modern terms, he's simply saying this: there is no lack in my life whatsoever. David speaks as someone that is satisfied. I began to think about being satisfied in the Lord, began to run the references in the Bible of satisfied, satisfaction. And by the way, satisfaction is not in there, but satisfied and satisfy is in the Word of God. You know what? As I began to really study those passages out, I come to understand this, that most of the time, almost every reference is found in the Old Testament and not in the New Testament. And then as you begin to parse those words out, begin to understand this, that most of the time it's spoken about in a negative context. Probably two-thirds is negative, or one-third is positive. So understanding this, God is really saying this, you be satisfied in me and not in the things of this world. If you're satisfied in me, then I'll take care of you and you'll be a happy camper. But you think about it. Most of the time, it's in the negative context. You know, if you do this, you will not be satisfied. If you do this, you'll not be satisfied. So understand this, this satisfaction only comes in the Lord. Proverbs 19 and verse 23, the Bible says this, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. And Psalm 36 and verse number 8, and the first part of that verse, the Bible says, they shall be abundantly be satisfied with the fatness of thy house. And I understand the context of what's going on here in Psalm 36 and verse number 8. But I thought about it as a way of application about God's house. They shall abundantly be satisfied with the fatness of thy house, of God's house. You know, we could be satisfied in God's house when God's here through the preaching and teaching of his word. So David speaks as someone that is satisfied. And on his journey of life, David couldn't ask for anything more than the Lord himself. In the Lord, he found all that he needed. In the Lord, his every need had been met. You can be sure that in the coming days ahead, the Lord will provide for you all that you need to face whatever may be in your future to come. What do the days ahead have for you and I? Like I said before, only God knows what's in our days ahead. Proverbs 27:1 says this, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what the day may bring forth. We don't know what's coming tomorrow, but I'm so glad that God does. In James 4 and verse 1, we have a more familiar verse. The Bible says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a while and then vanisheth away. You see, we don't know what's coming in the days ahead. But I think the truth that we need to get satisfaction from is not in trying to wonder what's going to happen, but our satisfaction ought to come that no matter what comes, he promises to be there with us. Regardless of whatever the days ahead will bring, don't forget we have a glorious, we have an unchanging God to trust in. Let your hearts be occupied with the person of God, the Lord, and always be conscious of the presence of God in your daily walk. And as you do that, remind yourself that you'll never be a moment when he will leave you or forsake you. He will always, always, always be there for you. You can rest assured in the provisions of God. You don't have to want. You don't even have to need. He promises to provide for you. I've heard it over and over again on testimonies on Wednesday evenings. How that when you thought there was no way that this was going to take place, how God was going to accomplish it, by some divine action of God, he provided whatever your need was. And it wasn't a week before, and it wasn't a week late. It was right on time. God will always be there. You can rest assured in the provision that the chief shepherd, the great shepherd, has for you. You don't have to want. You don't have to worry. What more could you ask for in the days ahead? As we spend every day with Jesus, number one, be amazed by the Lord's person, the Lord, Jehovah. Number two, be alert to the Lord's presence. He watches over us. Not only does he watch over us, he walks with us. And then lastly, we saw, be assured of the Lord's provision. That's there's sufficiency in him and there's satisfaction in the Lord's provision. Let's spend every day with Jesus. Father, we come before you this evening, Lord. We thank you.